Support for GLT comes from Wendell Niepegan Greenhouses, the place to go for things that grow. Proud sponsor of the Dean of Green on GLT. Open 7 days a week on Fox Creek Road in Bloomington or anytime at niepegans.com. NIEPAGENS.com. This is GLT.
Seeking a little garden inspo? Well, there's plenty to be found all around you. I'm Laura Kennedy, and this is GLT's Grow, your source for practical gardening advice from our expert in the field from the Illinois State University School of Biological Sciences. It is Mr. Patrick Murphy. Hello, Murph.
Hi, Laura.
Today on GLT's Grow, Murph is examining some noteworthy neighborhoods and how to find them. All right, get out our GPS unit. We're ready to take off.
Yeah, this is kind of fun because I suffer from the condition of wanderlust.
Ooh.
I suffer from that.
Alrighty.
And I like to suffer from it at convenient times. You
oh,
know?
Really? Like
so, say you go to your sister-in-law's house for a couple hours, your wanderlust could kick in. You could have a bout of it and have to go out and deal with it.
Yeah, I can't take it anymore. I've got to deal
That's
with
it.
This wanderlust.
You know, it could be
Sorry,
mom's
S-I-L.
House, father-in-law's house. It doesn't matter. It's somewhere that you've been long enough, and it's time to go. And it's also for those of us that appreciate living things.
Mm-hmm.
So in our case, you know, here at Grow Corporate, we're kind of centered on the trees and the greenery and the things that change over the seasons, you know, and that's what made me think about this too. The leaves are changing. They have changed in some places, right?
Mm-hmm.
And now they're revealing what they've been hiding all this time. And if you're out of town, away from home, or if you're even at home here in the Twin Cities, the leaves reveal so much out there. So you may have traveled to a neighborhood and noticed a magnificent beech tree at the corner of Locust and such in Bloomington next to the ice cream store. And I've mentioned this to so many people, they know exactly which tree I'm talking about.
Uh-huh.
Well, when the leaves are all gone and that beech tree's there, one, you can see the strength and the muscles of that beech tree. And he's standing there butt naked out in the middle of the, and next to a house that's rather unusual. You
yes.
don't even get to see what the house looks like until the leaves are gone.
So when the leaves are gone, you get to see this house. It's revealed.
That's
There's
right.
no hiding anymore.
That's right. And I think that it gives us an opportunity to do some exploring. You know, Illinois Soldiers and Sailors Home here in the Twin Cities, it still has some standing architecture.
Mm-hmm.
And mixed in there are some old you-know-what trees.
Mm-hmm.
And along those lines, it might not be a school, but it could be a park, church, schools, anywhere where there has been improved ground in the past, you might find something noteworthy there.
Like a campus, too, maybe.
That's right. For certain at a campus, right? Because they do stand the test of time in many ways. So another thing that you can kind of use as a way to ferret this out, right, is think about historical markers that you see on your route to your destination.
Uh-huh.
They'll tell you where there's something to be seen. And sometimes, you know, I've stopped at historical markers that were nothing but a farmstead lot in the middle of farm country. And General George S. Patton stopped here for a cup of coffee and he spit on the ground right here. You know, and it's just this little story and there's not much to see here. But that is the exception. They usually have something very interesting for us to examine. And it ultimately has to do with living things. And the trees a lot of times fit that bill, especially in the old suburban and rural towns, whether they're agricultural supported rural towns or not, it doesn't really matter. If you go to the main street in that town and find a graveyard, that's where the graves are attached to the grounds of the church.
Uh-huh.
That is some of the oldest unimproved land in any small town. You can see some magnificent specimens of trees there. You can even see history and those that are laying at rest right there.
You know a great place to go if you're ever in Indiana is the campus of Indiana University in Bloomington. They actually have a little cemetery on or a graveyard on the campus because they have a little chapel there as well.
Oh, fascinating.
And it's a gorgeous, gorgeous campus. So that's a great place to go and see beautiful trees and plantings of all sorts.
And, you know, I've been fortunate to do a lot of traveling in my life. And one thing I noticed about the Southland that I'd like to mention, and the Southland can be north of the Mason-Dixon line, but I'm talking primarily south of the Mason-Dixon.
South.
Yeah. You will see near water and places where there is prevailing shade and protection from the winter wind, the little bit that they get, that's where the wealth and the aristocracy lived.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And then the other side was where things were a little tougher.
Jekyll Island, Georgia is a great place to go to check out really nice, quote unquote, cottages and the beautiful plantings and the Spanish moss. It's a great place to go check out where all the millionaires like to play. You're listening to GLT's Grow, our weekly gardening show for those who like to get their hands dirty. And we're getting our eyeballs on some gorgeous areas to look at. Neighborhoods of note this week on Grow.
So as we were talking about living where people have lived near natural features, you know, that's a place to see, you know, old gardens, old architecture, something special to be seen there. But now let's talk, close it out, and talking about the cities, you know, the major metropolitan areas, the urban areas. When I was working and living in Chicago, I was fascinated during a couple of landscaping projects that were conducted in the city. As we excavated to build seat walls and walkout basement staircases and things, we were reaching down 4 or 5 feet. We're getting down to where there's some utility lines and things.
Oh, yeah.
On the way down there, there's 3, 4, 5 layers of sidewalk dirt. And I thought it was interesting because it just shows you how much the city literally raises up over the years.
Wow.
So to see these old trees in cities, you do have to go to the churches and the schools because that's where the improvements have happened at the slowest pace. So that's an interesting thing. You go to Lincoln Park in Chicago and you know, think about the turn of the century. You're standing 6 to 8 feet higher than everyone else was.
And not just because we have better nutrition these days.
Yeah, and for the for the Chicago folks that are going to school and ultimately working here at ISU, they might find this interesting too. You know, it's not that way in the suburbs. They tear down the old house and it all gets torn down and it gets
and moved away and repurposed. Yeah, and everything's flattened out and it's all lost. All that sort of archaeology is lost.
But in the city, it's there. And the little plumbing stamps that were for the water shutoff valve that was for an old, old water, it's still there and it's still got the company's name on it and the date.
Cool.
And it's kind of neat to see that cross-section. Then you've got the, you know, the cross-sections of soil on the horizons here in the agricultural areas that we live in and the suburban areas, they tell a completely different tale of nature's changes and nature's building. And interesting thing to contrast, I think.
Where's your favorite place to go?
It's probably Pinellas County, Florida.
Really? Wow.
Yes, that's right. I've been going down there for vacation for years. I started going down there when I was in the service and I have a close friend that lives there. And I just like the whole being surrounded by water and that's a great question to ask me because I can tell you there's a boundary marker tree that was created by Native American tribes that originally lived there. You can find them there in Pinellas County, Florida, and you can find them all over the Midwest. Found them around Fort Benjamin Harris, Indiana.
How do you know if that they are that?
Because they have a very distinct shape, like a J or a Z, and a sapling tree is bent over and tied to the ground until a new branch breaks towards the sky. Then they cut the branch loose from the ground, and the tree has grown with this kind of checkmark shape. It was used to designate a boundary or point you towards water. And some of these trees in these very areas that I'm talking about still exist. And if you have to go all the way to Pinellas County, Florida, Indian Rocks Beach, I recommend it. It's worth the trip.
Worth
and you can see a boundary marker tree right in front of City Hall there.
Oh, that is so cool. Murph, thank you so much.
Thank you, Laura.
For the inside scoop on that. Next week, Murph fills us in on ornamental grasses and how to use them in our landscapes. They are fascinating why we even use ornamental grasses. And you know what? We're interested in your gardening questions or problems. If you've got something that Murph could possibly tackle, hey, go to our website, wglt.org/grow. There's a form there that you could fill out and you can send it along to us. You can also attach a photo as well. Maybe Murph will pick your question to answer on the air, but we got to hear from you first. Submit those questions at wglt.org/grow.